Well, there'll be plenty of war stories told over the weekend as thousands of diggers go to the traditional Anzac Day services around the country. Well, let's take a step back in time to the 1940s and meet 91-year-old Walter Dingle Middleton, better known as Ding. He served in the Australian Army and was a prisoner of war during World War II. Our producer, Owen Poynter, otherwise known as Rabbit, happened to overhear Ding at a broom watering hole bragging about once opening the batting for Australia. Well, yesterday, in true journalistic style, Owen decided to put the question to Ding. Did you really open the batting?
Well, that's quite right. That would be 1943, I should think. Early 1943. We were in camp. We were prisoners of war, and we were in camp at a place on the main Batavia-Surabaya highway. And we decided to have a test match. So we raked up all the cricketers we could, and we found we had seven players who'd played county cricket for England, and we had seven Australian players who had played Sheffield Shield cricket in Australia. I don't know how I came to be in the team, but I think it probably was the fact that I was in charge of the workshops then, and we made the ball, the cricket ball.
So you owned the ball, so you got to play.
Yes. And we decided to do the thing properly and have morning and afternoon tea breaks and all that sort of nonsense. And the pitch wasn't much. It was just a bit of level clay. And the ball, of course, wasn't too true. But we did have a couple of cricket bats. And so we got started on this match, and everyone was a little bit shy about opening. We'd won the toss, and it was no one knew quite how the pitch was going to play, and they didn't want to make dopes of themselves, so they put in the biggest dope of the lot, and that was me, to open for Australia, which I did very successfully. I made 25, and would possibly still be there, except for the fact that there were others waiting to have a bat. However, I eventually got out, and the innings progressed, and it went quite well, except when two or three balls were hit over the fence. And the Japanese guard got sick of tossing them back, and so he very selfishly put it in his pocket and said, "No, not going to put it back anymore." So we had to declare the whole thing a draw. But I've never ceased to tell people that I opened the batting for Australia on one occasion and made top score.
Well, we haven't got any of the English players here. Who do you think would have won? Who do you think would have won the game if it had?
Oh, we'd have won.
We would have won.
Oh, I think we'd have won. We're a much rougher mob than the English, and although we probably wouldn't have behaved as well at tea time and that, but still we were there to have a bit of a slog. I think we'd have beaten them.
Yeah, good on you. Also, while you were a prisoner of war, you also told me of another bit of a tale involving a Japanese inspector that was going around wearing his whites.
Oh, that's when I was a pig minder. Yes, he was a... he came to... We had this herd of pigs, and we had a great big concrete cesspit where all the pig manure and water used to run down. And this inspector came. He was brought there in the camp commandant's big Chevrolet, and he had a absolutely immaculate clothes on, white, all in white, and a little white billycock hat. And he was a charming chap. And he wanted to see where the pigs were kept. So we all bowed as we had to and all that. And he started to walk towards this cesspit. And someone said, "Mind out, the soddy, you walk into it." And someone else said, "No, never mind, never mind. Let him go, let him go." So we let him go. And sure enough, he was chatting affably to someone, and with his dear little white hat on, and he stepped right across from the concrete into the pig manure, and down he went plop, and the only thing that was left floating on top was his little white billycock hat. Well, he came up and took a breath, and a great big raw-boned sergeant from Tasmania, he poked him under again, and someone said, "Don't do that, you have our heads cut off." So very politely the sergeant let him grasp this bit of bamboo he had, and we pulled him out, and we handed him back his little hat. And the difficulty then arose how he was going to get back to Batavia, because the camp commandant said, "No way, you're going in my car." anyway, they arranged a 30 hundredweight truck, and the last we saw of him was he'd put his little hat on again, and he was standing in the back of this 30 hundredweight truck, bowing to the guard as they presented arms to him. And I think we gave him a bit of a cheer too, but I don't think we got much of a reception. But he was quite a nice little fellow.
Well, at least you didn't get your head chopped off for it. That's the main thing. You're still here to tell the tale. You're still here to tell the tale. That's the main thing.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure you've got heaps of other tales about your time as a prisoner of war. I'm sure not all of them are amusing as the two that you've just told us here today, but it's good to hear that there is a lighter side to it, and that the spirits were all up and the morale was still there with you and your fellow prisoners. I believe you're going to be marching here in Broome on Sunday, on Anzac Day. Is that true?
Yes. I believe we're going to go up to some war memorial or something. I haven't had a look at it yet. There's quite a... They tell me it's quite an occasion.
It is up here. This will be your first Anzac Day here in Broome, is it?
Yes, it is. I'll be very pleased to be there too.
Oh, and I'm certain that everybody there will be very happy to see you there.
Yes, I hope so.
Well, thanks for being on the show this morning.
Yeah.
And I hope you enjoy Anzac Day, the march, and the celebrations afterwards.
Thank you very much.